This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. On the first Friday of every month, we take occasion to discuss a topic of environmental pertinence to our state, our county, and to our hometown. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and host of WEMU's first Friday Focus on the Environment. On this month's edition, Lisa covers the threat of nuclear waste near the Great Lakes.
Bruce Nuclear Generating Station in Ontario is the largest nuclear power station in the world and generates a tremendous amount of radioactive waste. The operators of the plant are proposing to store 50 million tons of low and intermediate level radioactive waste in a repository about 2,000 feet below and less than 1 mile away from Lake Huron. My guest today is Congressman Dan Kildee of Michigan's 5th Congressional District. At the end of August, Congressman Kildee introduced a congressional resolution to stop nuclear waste from being stored on the shores of the Great Lakes. Welcome to the show, Congressman.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
The proposed underground nuclear waste storage facility, if permitted, would store radioactive waste from Ontario's 20 nuclear reactors. When did this proposal first come to the fore? When did you first personally find out about it?
Well, it was in 2013 when we first became aware. I think there had been quite a bit of discussion leading up to the proposal, but the formal review process was initiated last November, and I sent a letter signed by the other several other members of the Michigan delegation to Congress asking the Canadian government, Ontario Power Generation, to consider another site. So we've been working on this for about a year, but it had been under consideration for some time before that.
And the proposal specifically states that the waste in question would be, quote-unquote, low and intermediate level radioactive waste. How is that defined? In other words, what does that actually contain?
I think it's anything other than spent fuel rods. So it would be material used in the generators themselves. And that has been one of the causes of some concern, because often when trying to sort of dismiss the concern, people who are defending this would say, oh, no, it's just gloves and boots and things of that nature. No, this is potentially very hazardous material. It is the material used in the process. It's just not necessarily the spent fuel rods, but anything else. And the point, of course, is that if it's nuclear contamination, it is what it is. And however it became contaminated and needs to be stored, it should be stored in a place that's safe and 0.6 of a mile from the shores of America's and the world's greatest freshwater source does not, to me, constitute the safest place to store this material or any other nuclear material.
And why do they choose this particular location?
I think it's largely because the community of Kincardine, which is where the Bruce nuclear power plant is located, is accustomed to nuclear activity, nuclear energy. And I think my belief is, this is just supposition on my part, but it's supported by many others, that the local reaction to the location of this kind of a facility would be far less in a community that's already sort of been through the process and now they sort of accept it and wouldn't be as likely to raise a concern. And if, of course, you know, I think that would be this is a very difficult question anyway, but even if they would like to have a community that fully embraces it, 100% of their, let's just say, for example, 100% of their residents would like to see this facility located there, you can't say that it's only going to affect that community. It could potentially affect communities not just in the region, but because of the proximity to the shoreline, it could affect our greatest resource, something that we use not just to sustain life, but as a great economic asset as well. And so I think it's unfortunate that they've chosen this path, and we hope that they take a different course.
89.1 WEMU's first Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking about a proposal to store nuclear waste on the shores of Lake Huron with Congressman Dan Kildee. Now, Congressman, you were saying that they've chosen this particular location because the community is in some ways used to talking about and having nuclear power discussed in the area. What kind of sense do you have of the reaction thus far, not only by the neighbors in that vicinity, but by, frankly, the province of Ontario as a whole?
Well, there is a broad spectrum of opinion on this, and we've seen more municipal governments, for example, in Canada, raise objections as well. There are voices across the country itself that oppose this location. I know that many of the First Nations members, the Native Canadians there, are very concerned about the effect that this might have on lakes. So our objections, obviously, are not just related to our interests. I mean, this is really about a region and about the lakes, and our concerns are shared by many people on the Canadian side of the border.
Well, the International Joint Commission is the arbiter in cases of conflict between the U.S. and Canada over Great Lakes issues. Do you see the IJC in a position to influence the decision of Ontario Power in this case?
Well, I would hope so, and we, you know, obviously we're asking for everybody who has an interest in this to raise their voice. As we move forward, I think it's important that the position of the American government be clear, and certainly as a representative of the people in my district, I want to be clear. And I would hope that, you know, members of the International Joint Commission, anybody else that understands the relationship between the U.S. and Canada has been a very good one. But then on occasion we have differences, and we have a mechanism to resolve those differences. However, at this point in time, the Ontario Power Generation just continues to go through their approval process, and I just hope that they stop, think, and realize that in the vast resource that is Canada, there must be a location that is more suitable for this storage facility than something that is so close to the Great Lakes.
You're listening to 89.1 WEMU and our first Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking about proposed nuclear waste near the Great Lakes with Congressman Dan Kildee. So Michigan is only one of eight states, along with the province of Ontario, that makes up this fabulous Great Lakes Basin that we all know and love. Has this proposal raised concern among your other Great Lakes colleagues in Congress?
Yes, I've talked to quite a number of members from Wisconsin to New York on this question. In fact, the resolution that I offered is co-sponsored by Congressman Sandra Levin, of course, from Michigan, but also Congressman Brian Higgins from Buffalo, New York, and others now, of course, are joining. In the Senate, where Senator Levin introduced his resolution, he has support from, obviously, Senator Stabenow, but also Senator Kirk from Illinois. So we continue to hear more members of Congress and other voices as they become aware of this proposal that are joining in. You know, there's an interesting corollary. It was back in the 1980s when the Canadian government objected when the United States was making some decisions about the siting of nuclear waste storage. And the Canadian government then asked the U.S. to reconsider a site that was 24 miles from the St. Lawrence Seaway because it was too close and it was in a shared water basin. So it would seem to me that the Canadians owe it to themselves and to us and to the region to apply the same sort of care and scrutiny to their decisions that they ask us to apply to ours so long ago.
And where are the Canadians exactly in the process of moving this proposal forward, and where, what are the best chances of actually stopping it?
Well, we hope that they're listening. There will be a review period that is closing now, and then they'll have about 90 days to complete a report based on the public input that has been received. So they're continuing to go through the process. One of the reasons that they had to have another hearing is that they had previously grossly understated the amount of material that would be stored in this facility. And then at this most recent hearing, it was revealed that there's consideration to double the size of the facility. So this, it seems as though, and I'm not trying to paint anybody with a broad brush here, but it seems as though those who have been advocates for this may have intentionally understated the effect that this might have and the risk that this would include. And to me, that raises even more serious questions about what their future plans for this kind of facility might be. So hopefully, as they go through this review process and as much of this has been revealed, calmer voices both in the Canadian government and in the process, into the regulatory process, will conclude that there's got to be a better location.
And finally, I must ask, what can citizens in Michigan do to get involved and support your congressional action?
Well, I really think it does make a difference that their voices be heard. So writing directly to Ontario Power Generation, but also reaching out to their members of Congress, because while we have as I said, support from members across the region. We don't have unanimous support. And, you know, it makes a difference when an individual member of Congress hears from their own constituents. I can go ask a member to join, but if they hear from their own constituents, it's much more likely that they're going to get involved in this.
That is Congressman Dan Kildee from Michigan's 5th Congressional District. I'm Lisa Wozniak, inviting you to join me next month for the next edition of 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment.
Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment is a monthly feature and is heard, as you might expect, on the first Friday of each month. For more information on today's feature and to visit our archive, go to our webpage at WEMU.org.